on the roof.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman.
Welcome back to another edition of the Big D Radio Show right here on Live 95.5, Cullman's Independent Radio. In studio with me tonight, Stacey Lee George. She's going to run for governor of Alabama. Christopher Greer, our weekly guy here, it seems like, here lately. I guess we're going to have to sign a contract with this guy coming in. He's bringing his guitar in. Marvelous Melvin Haston, Cullman attorney, is the co-host tonight. What's going on, Melvin? What's going on with you, big guy?
I don't know, just being I guess I'm out here. I am.
I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now? Hey, I can be the new Verizon. I can be the new Verizon guy. Can you hear me now? Hey, did he get fired?
He went to Sprint. Yeah.
He went to Sprint. Probably got paid off. So I'll be the new Verizon guy. Can you hear me now? Yes. What's going on? I don't know. I went to I went and mediated a wreck case today. I guess that's good. We settled it. So that's good. Rather than put it out in front of a jury and let a jury decide, we kind of decided.
Look, if they're going to offer me $1 million, I'm settling right now.
I don't blame you. Yes.
I need quick money, dude.
If my client would have got $1 million, I'd probably retire today. But
well, evidently,
didn't do it, so I got to go back to work tomorrow.
So that means you got to go back on the farm and get some more tomatoes and sell them.
More tomatoes? I'm not done truck farming. I've never tried that. It may be something else I'll try. This hay farmer is about to kill me, though.
So look, journey tomorrow night.
No, that'd be Saturday.
Saturday night journey. So heading down to Pelham to Oak Mountain Amphitheater.
Oak Mountain Amphitheater had a client of mine that got me a couple of free tickets. So me and my lovely wife's going to go. I've never seen Journey. Seen a bunch of groups.
Yeah,
that's like the prelude to our big show next week. There,
I know. Chicago, Illinois.
Kiss,
which is Melvin and I's favorite group, along with Ozzy Osbourne and about 20 other groups. Man, mm-hmm. That's going to be spectacular.
Some of them that Stacey Lee George probably never heard of.
No.
I like Kiss. I'm a big fan of Kiss.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you just joined the club, dude.
Yeah, that's
seriously.
Yeah,
hey, he's going to be a weekly
guest. You'll be a weekly guest now if you're a Kiss fan.
Yeah, I like that.
That's just the way that we roll around here.
Yeah, I love Kiss.
Now, granted, we said that we was going to dress up 1 week, and we haven't done it yet, so it's going to be coming up. Look, maybe we'll do it at Halloween.
That'd be good.
So, look, let's get a limo, okay? Bring a limo up here. And we're going to do all four of us, and we're going to ride around town, ride around Birmingham and Huntsville.
And maybe all right, and sign autographs.
Yes.
Sign people, yeah.
Yes.
Say their thing.
We will be fake Kiss guys.
Yes.
So, all right.
Well, we got some tomatoes since we've been here, so we're doing good. Y'all not trying to buy – that's not trying to get grant money for Cole. Well, these tomatoes, because it might work. You know, I can be bought, you know, with tomatoes food.
We will bribe you to no end.
You
think you've seen corrupt governors in Alabama?
That's it.
Look, we are not too petty to do that.
That's
we
right.
That now.
Well, I'm pretty cheap. You know, those tomatoes got to go a long way with me.
If they add cucumbers, it's over.
Yeah, cucumbers. Yeah, you got us then.
Well,
cucumbers.
Look, and our cucumbers have done horrible this year. I mean, they have done horrible. So I don't know what's going on.
Hey, I'm gonna go buy some if we can bribe the governor for that.
Yeah. Hey, it's election year, you know.
And tomatoes. Yeah.
Yeah, the other governor, you know, she gave some money. I saw to Huntsville and gate the Arsenal gate over there today. I think $1.8 million.
What in the world?
Did they give Cullman anything? I didn't see anything in Cullman.
No.
they'll give you something after we show up in Cullman, maybe. So.
Well, the only thing we get in Cullman is the rain and tornadoes. So
no
grant money here.
Whatever comes through Cullman, you know, I lived at Ryan all my life and Bailiton address. Now I live in Arab, but I grew up in Ryan and served as county commissioner over there. But, you know, when a tornado warnings for Cullman. It's northeast. We're Ryan. We hit the dirt, you know, in the storm pit.
Yes.
You know, mom's like, "Let's go, son." And I said, "Goodness, I might sleep through this, mom." No, we got to go to the storm.
Well, you know, I think that may be my next investment is a storm cellar.
Yeah, maybe
I need one. I mean,
yeah, that's what when it hits Cullman though, it's right there. You know,
so. Always. All right, so big guy, here we go.
Yeah,
governor of Alabama.
That's right.
So Melvin and I, we actually do a show every Tuesday called Understanding the Law.
Right.
So on a good day, we will rip apart Alabama politics because that's what I like to do.
Good.
Look,
that's good.
Needs look, to be. Look, Melvin's smiling because he does like it a little bit, but not completely, but I do.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just, this is my point of anyone that has been an Alabama governor. I think everybody starts off cool. Everybody wants to do the right thing, and or it's their pitch from the very beginning. As time goes by, within the next year or two, you're going to watch exactly how politics is going to turn them from their ways, supposedly, if they had good ways, and they're going straight down the tubes.
I agree with you.
And I'm not saying that everybody has that in them, because they may be a crook from the very beginning.
Right, right.
But one of the... I mean, it's just governor after governor. So,
yeah, I've watched for 20 years. I've been watching these guys, helping them get elected, and then they fall short. You know, I started with, of course, Governor Hunt, when he got acquitted or whatever, he married my mom and dad in 1968, probate judge, and that's how I got into politics. So, but I've got a book coming out, Corruption, the Heart of Dixie. So I've been uncovering corruption. You know, I got the sheriff over there in Morgan County. He was feeding inmates, you know, corn dogs three times a day, and it led to him going to jail for a day, and then I filed six ethics charges on the governor, and four that I filed. So, and all between, I got the garbage director giving free garbage. So I've been trying to do corruption deals. Corruption, Heart of Dixie is my book, from the courthouse to the state house. So I've been cleaning it up. It's been messy, you know. Some people's cut my brake lines, and it's been pissing me out and stuff. But, you know, it is. There's a lot of corruption there, but as county commissioner, I never changed. I served two terms, first Republican elected. When I got the sheriff and messed with the revenue commissioner a little bit, you know, some things, she wasn't paying some money back, then they got mad at me, the Republican Party, and they said, my gosh, you can't get the Republicans. Good Democrats was good,
right,
getting dirt deals. And then I got the Republicans. I said, well, you know, everybody seems to be corrupt down this courthouse, pouring on the computer. Chairman's computer, you know, county computer. So I was like, wow. But eventually you get so many people, you look around and everybody's kin to everybody, so they finally get you. But I served two terms, never changed. They said I didn't take it prestigious enough, a lot of my supporters, because I never changed. I was Stacey George when I went in, Stacey George when I left, I'm Stacey George now. So as governor, I think I'd still be Stacey George.
It is nice to have outsiders. Right. You know, I mean, somebody that's not bought in the system, that's not bought, like we talked about earlier, bought by the business community or the insurance community or the power brokers here, have someone that's from the outside that really has Alabama heart. You know, that's the key, man. You got to, people come pitch this little spiel, how much they love Alabama, right, and they're going to do for Alabama, but they're like, most of them just out for themselves.
They are.
Like what you're talking about, the corruption, you know. The whole deal with the hot dog deal was to so they can keep the pocket the money.
Right. The only state in the United States that the sheriff can have incentive to starve people for a profit, and that's wrong. Doesn't matter who, you can't starve people for a profit. That's not godly, you know.
Yes.
And so you can't do that. It's also the only state in the United States that the parole board doesn't talk to the inmates before they release from prison or they stay in prison. The only state in the United States. And I'm going to do an executive order that forces them to spend 30 minutes interviewing the inmate before they release them or before they keep them in there. They need to do that. But, you know, I was raised 12 years old. My dad was paralyzed from waist down. He had a job at 3M, worked three jobs. And, you know, I was raised on disability, Social Security. I started pulling weeds over at Thrower's Nursery over here in Bayleton, you know, when I was 12. Mom stayed home with dad. And so we ate that commodity cheese. That was good. The powdered milk was horrible, but the peanut butter was good. But, you know, it was, you know, kind of embarrassing at times. You stand in that line, and, you know, some kids make fun of you. But it made me a better person, and I think but I'd really have a heart for people, and I've tried to help people no matter who they are at whatever. But I end up helping probably middle-income and lower-income a lot because they get left out, and they don't have a voice a lot of times.
That's my biggest deal. I say it all the time. The middle class people, when I'm saying middle class, the 30,000 to 200,000 range people, they don't have a voice. You don't have an incentive to do anything because you either got to be dirt poor,
right,
and really not have an incentive to move and to do anything because heck, they're gonna give you welfare, they're gonna give you money, they're gonna give you all kinds of stuff. But if you get up there and try to do good and have the average income $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 household, what benefits do you have? You don't have any benefits.
That's right.
Nothing. You're paying for everybody else.
That's right, you are. And, you know, before I got into politics, I was, you know, I graduated on a Friday night, went to work Monday morning at Wiley Laboratories, worked there 10 years. During that time, I worked for Boeing, NASA, worked for the Redstone Arsenal, Hellfire, Longbow Missiles, GE. I did a Boeing project out of Wichita, Kansas for a year and a half. Then I worked 10 years in one day, and I went to work for the Amtec Corporation on the Redstone Arsenal. I worked in nuclear power plants in Arkansas, Louisiana, a VT-3 inspector. I've been in the Magellan Space Shuttle in Denver, Colorado, laying strain gauges. So I'm very familiar with the business community and being able to bring business to Alabama before I got mad and ran for office. And yes. I got mad and ran because I couldn't buy land in Morgan County. It's in my book.
Yes.
But I couldn't. I actually purchased some land, but there's three roads. There's a county road, there's a county maintained road, and a private drive. And I had bought property on a public road, owner finance, and I ended up getting shafted and couldn't actually buy it through the county. And I said, my gosh, man, what's going on? This is rural Alabama, you know. But there was rules, and I don't agree with them a lot of times, those restrictions out in the county. I don't like restrictions, period. I don't like the annual reappraisal. I went all the state against Riley, who I endorsed, and then he went on that annual reappraisal. I want to go back to every 4 years. I want to remove the grocery tax, which is hurts poor people and you know, working people. And I can remove that, and I can save $30 to $40 million in the DOC budget instead of spending $800 million. We can lower that population over time, get them working, paying taxes.
Well, look, state taxes, okay.
Right.
You know, there are some states that don't even have sales tax.
Right.
And here we are. We have a sales tax, and we're still broke.
Right.
I
exactly.
Mean, come on.
They keep doing it. And, you know, this gas tax they wanted to raise, I said, you don't need to raise taxes. In my district over there, I'll pay you portions of roads. Now, it's not the prettiest thing in the world. It'll be real dark, and then it'll get lighter. But I put lines on there for the elderly, even out in rural parts, the chip seal roads. I'd go in there and put some yellow stripes down the middle. And you can do things. You just have to be efficient. But you got roads to nowhere up toward Bob Riley's house. They built a big interstate. It looked like an interstate. State highway out to nowhere. You can't do that politically. They do these things, and they waste money. Birmingham's falling apart, you know, all over the interstate. Potholes, there's no excuse for that. We've got plenty of money. And Montgomery, I'll freeze all positions in Montgomery until we audit everybody, what everybody does down there. Because in the Montgomery area, I'm talking about the big towers and all these people running around, you know, and nobody knows who their job is. Their wife's over here. She's the appointment for the parole board, and then their husband's the personnel director appointment. You know, it's like a nepotism test you need to take. There's a lot of wasted money. People just have jobs down there. They're not doing nothing.
Exactly, you know? And that's the way it always has been. And
right.
If we continue with the corruptness that we have, it will continue to do that. So it's sad that we allow it.
Right.
You know, and we always want somebody to be a governor that's actually going to turn things around.
Right.
But in the state of Alabama, it hasn't happened, and that's just the bottom line.
Right. But you know what? And they say, how are you going to pass these? I'm going to put a lottery on the ballot. You know, that's a little controversial. You know, people go to church. They say, my gosh, but the Porch Creek Indians getting rich off everybody.
Oh, yes.
We're already gambling in Alabama. And every time we get ready to put the ballot on the ballot, they stop it. They pay the Republicans most of the time down there. They're in control. They stop it from going on the ballot. Now, they put it through political action committees and different things. You know, they got on to me for calling people corrupt. But, you know, the bottom line is Porch Creek Indians are doing real good. But our kids, you know, they're suffering for that. And we could create $200 million, maybe $250 million. If people don't want it, let's put it on the ballot. In 1999, Siegelman had a horrible plan. I voted against it because it's so corrupt. But we do it like Georgia and get them a two-year start and get our kids educated for a ready-made workforce so we can bring them to Coleman business here and in these areas, and they'll be ready to go to work.
Well, you know, Coleman was anti-alcohol sales for many years.
Right.
So finally, when Coleman goes wet, and within the first 6 months, they made $1 million in revenue, you know, everybody on the council and everybody else said, wow, we should have done this 20 years ago.
Right.
So that's just the bottom line.
Well, I mean, when your cities are drinking, you got it wet in Decatur, and then Hartsville, we were talking about that earlier, you couldn't go wet.
Why did Hartsville take so long to go wet? I don't understand that at all.
What's strange is, you know, I ran down there, and they said they didn't understand how I won the first run because I ran against three-term incumbent, never been a Republican. What I did was, I'll tell you a secret, I've never told it actually on radio. What I did was went to the polling places every time they voted for like 4 years. They'd vote on the different taxes and the alcohol sales or whatever they were voting on at the time. And I would wait at the polling place, and I would just stay 30 feet from the door and meet everybody and give them a card that says "State of George Morgan County." And what I did was I met all the voters at the polling place. Nobody knew what I was doing. They thought it was crazy. But when the election came in, I actually split hearts when that's how I won. It's a countywide race. And then I won. Black people voted for me in Northwest Decatur. I spent a lot of time over there. And 148 people, more than anybody in history, black people voted Republican in November. And I won by 78 votes, first run.
Wow. Yeah. You know, and who all has announced that they're going to run for governor?
We had a new one today, Hightower, Senator Hightower from down in Mobile area, which is good because that would split. You know, I'm looking politically. I do strategy, yes. So that looks good because if Ziegler jumps in, he'll have to think twice now because that splits that vote up. And then, of course, you got Tommy Battle raising money. You got Twinkles. Outraised everybody, but her husband, I think, gave her $500,000 or something.
Uh-huh.
You got this Dawson guy. He seems to be a good guy, youth pastor or something. Seems to be, everybody knows him. Seems to be a great guy. So, I mean, he's running. I don't know where he's from, Birmingham or something.
You know, I'm thinking he may be from the Church of the Highlands, I believe. But he's got a friend, and I can't think of his name, that is another pastor in Birmingham that he had threw his name in the hat about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really? Well, that's good. That splits that vote up. I'm just, yes. You know,
God's
you
probably got a plan. I don't know.
Right. You
got
to have a plan.
Yeah, there's two pastors going in.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I want two preachers, two pastors. You know, I want two people Mobile. We got Tommy Battle up here. I'm kind of in the center. And, you know, I'm working. I went to Selma. I ran 3.2 miles across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. You know, I believe in the civil rights, too. Yes. Everybody's civil rights.
Yes.
And the Bill of Rights, the entire Constitution, every word of it. And so we have to do the civil rights, too. And we got a lot of people locked up. I talk about that in prison, you know. Punishment, at what point does punishment become revenge?
Yes. Yeah. We're going to get to that in a minute. But now, I guess a lot of your supporters that helped you out last time, because you were the only one that was going to step up against Bentley.
That's right, yeah. They said it was crazy.
You know, yeah, they said you was crazy, but I guess a lot of your supporters was tickled death when they see this opportunity again, didn't they?
They did. They saw me, you know, Montgomery, that as soon as that happened, they said, my gosh, you were, you know, right. I was almost on him, too. That's what I do is corruption. I dig these things and tracked him, and I had him, but I had the first lady, and I said, gosh, I can't get her. I'd requested all these records about 2 weeks before the election, and she was flying back for Tuscaloosa on that plane, and I was like, now why is she flying? And I was sitting here trying to do everything. I said, well, I can't talk about her flying too much because she's a nice lady, you know.
Yes, she is.
But I couldn't nail him on it. But I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't get it. But I'll guarantee one thing, if I'd have got it, I'd have told it to everybody,
yes,
you know, because people needed to know it.
Yes.
But yeah, I did. And, you know, I had a lot of supporters. You know, I come in second in the three-man race, and we spent $25,000 probably total. It shows 15 to 25. You know how that goes. Probably 15 to 25, and we got 25,000 votes. I got name ID statewide. Then I ran as a Trump delegate, Newt Gingrich delegate statewide, and ran as a Bush delegate statewide several years ago. And I just keep my name out there. You know, I've lost a few, but you can't expect to win unless you put your name out. And if you're not rich, filthy rich, then you have to do things to be creative.
Yeah, I remember when you ran the last time, going up here at the boys up at Lacey Springs, sitting there hand painting your sides.
Yeah, they
were painting your sides. They was working a tail off for you.
They was, and you know, we found a way of making signs. I put probably, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 signs out statewide. We had a little stencil, and we could actually spray paint that three color, but it only lasts 3 days. But somebody finally got some signs, and they said, my gosh, I don't know if I should tell this story or not. I don't even know if it's legal. But anyway, somebody ended up getting me about $200 worth of sides, single-sided, right? Said George for governor, and it was probably about 3 months before the election. So I got in a little car, got me a ladder. I went all the way from the Tennessee line every 12 miles and put a sign up all the way to Mobile, turned around and come all the way back every 12 miles with a ladder. And in 25 hours, I had signed up from one end state to the other. And so they said, my gosh. And I said, boy, I had a lot of help.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell them it was me, and me. But, you know, but that's what I do. I get up at 3 in the morning. I was up at 3 this morning over in Athens. I'm moving, man. I mean, I move my signs around. I've had them for 20 years. I just scrape, you know, the commissioner off and put George, you know, governor on it. And so I'm very aggressive, and I'm everywhere. You know, these cards, it's something kind of different. You know, people keep them.
Well, it's obvious everybody's looking for something different. So that's a great idea. When you brought one couple by my office, I love that. That's a good idea.
Well, my wife, she's supportive of me, you know, and Let's see what kind of notes she's wrote here. She keeps me. Yeah, common sense from common people. That's what we do. I tell them I'm a working man for the hardworking people of Alabama. And that's the way I see it because I'm just who I am. But my wife, she's supportive of me and she's with me. She posts everything, keeps me straight and just a blessing, you know. Maybe I found somebody to put up with me. It's hard. It's hard to do, you know.
That's what I'm single for.
Yeah, that's it.
So look, Melvin, maybe we need to hook him up with my friend Alex Shannara and we'll spray paint some of his.
Oh, man, Shannara. Oh, yes. Do you know him?
It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Man, I've been trying to get him. I invited him to my event down in Selma because I said, my gosh, if I get Alexander, you know what I mean, Alexander Shannara, the attorney. Man, I need to meet him. Well, he's good.
We'll
have
to hook you up one of these days.
He has got signs everywhere.
It's my gosh, man.
And hey, I was telling, I think talking about last time on the radio, I was going down the road and it was the Alex Shannara new forecast or traffic report or something. I was like, man, it's on everything.
It is. So I said, I've been trying to get with him forever, but I was in Selma and I said, invited my event. I said, I'm going to run 3.2 miles. They said, there's no way somebody 260 pounds, and I'm about 268, can run 3.2 miles. I said, yes, I can. Yeah. I said, I can run across, but it was rough when I got to that bridge. But we come across that bridge in solid black, and I said, what do you represent? I'm representing all the people that are not rich and powerful, because yes, that's who's not being represented. The rich and powerful have all these other guys running,
exactly,
you know, and gals. So, but I'm not against the rich and powerful. I just want to make sure that I want to lower everybody's cost of living. So if I can keep the cost of living down, it helps everybody. And, you know, with the property tax, keep that low. You know, the grocery tax, get rid of that. And the sales tax, we're not going to increase any of that. We're just going to cut this waste. And, you know, I'm pretty tight with my money and stuff. You know, I mean, I reuse everything. I save everything. I got sheds full of stuff, you know. But I try to make it look professional in some way, but I just use all kind of gimmicks, you know. Here's my Karl Rove board, you know.
Yep.
Well, it's just sad that so many of these counties charge you so much money. And, I mean, just go to Jefferson County and try to buy a car tag and see how much that costs you.
Yeah,
it's ungodly.
It really is. And, you know, they say, well, you don't want to lower, you know, we got the lowest property tax. We should be promoting that at every interstate coming into Alabama. We should say we have one of the lowest property tax in the United States come to Alabama.
Yes.
We should be proud of the things that we have that's low. Now, but we can do better on other things. Garbage, I never voted on a garbage increase. We had 800,000, I'll never forget, and they wanted to increase the garbage by $1 or $2. I said, I'm not doing it. And they said, George, you're going to raise a fuss, aren't you? I said, I always do. I said, there's no use in it. I said, you tell me what we're doing. We're going to build a transfer station. I said, well, we're going to lie to everybody and say we're not going to do it. And then all of a sudden it shows up.
Right.
You know, they come over with a rock quarry. They said, George, you want to put a rock quarry in your district? I said, great. It'll save money. They're going to bring some jobs. I said, let's talk about it. We're going to put it by the river. I said, let's do a press conference. And that guy goes, you know, with the rock crusher, you know, group. He said, Roger Group. He said, that's what we always want to do, but nobody wants to do that. And I said, let's go talk to them. We went out there, got a rock quarry in my district right in the center, had a meeting, talked to them. They give money to the schools, adopted the park. They gave free food down there for 6 months at a restaurant, I think, and gave a lot of money to the school. But it was amazing. The Coon Hunters Association, they gave them some rock down there. But, you know, it's one of the best things that happened to Lacey Spring. You know, they can't get a drop of water. It's right by the river. If you go off to the right of the river bridge in that low area, but they have to pump water in. Because you can't get any water. You think you have leakage.
Yes.
But it's dry as it can be. But they said they'll be digging rock there probably 50 years.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we're going to go to a quick commercial, and we're going to come back with Stacy George just for a few more minutes. He is running for governor of Alabama. You're listening to the Big D Radio Show right here on Live 95.5. We are Coleman's Independent Radio.
Say where she came from. Yesterday don't matter if it's gone. While the sun is bright, or in the darkest night, no one knows. She comes and goes. Why she needs to be so free. She'll tell you it's the only way to be. She just can't be chained to a life where nothing's gained or nothing's lost. At such a cost. No time to lose, I heard her say. Catch your dreams before they slip away. Dying all the time, lose your dreams and you may lose your mind. In life unkind.
Here's a new Live 95 suggestion on how to prepare for the new work week. On Sunday night, you cook dinner. You help the kids finish their homework. You scream at your husband. You take the trash out. You make sure your kids brush their teeth. You tuck them in, sigh loudly, then pick up your remote control and turn on Sunday Night Live on Live 95. It's like being at a music festival, but without the illegal vapors, bright lights, and rednecks around you. However, if you want to make it more authentic, you can pour beer all over yourself. Sunday Night Live, all live tracks from 9 o'clock until midnight, right here on Cullman's independent radio station, Live 95.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today. Or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio. Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Welcome back to the Big D Radio Show. In studio with us, marvelous Melvin Haston, the wrestler slash boxer slash Coleman attorney.
You got to tell Stacy the whole
thing. Is everybody wrestling Coleman?
Yeah, I was a former wrestler in the 90s. So we brought in Josh O'Neill, and I quickly gave him a nickname, The Real Deal, Josh O'Neill. So with all these Coleman attorneys coming in here every week, I gave them all nicknames. So
I felt left out.
Yeah, so I come up with Marvelous Melvin Hayes.
Now, you know, if you like an attorney, you call him an attorney, and then you get mad at him. You say, them darn lawyers. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Hey, you know, that's kind of funny because I a lot of times when I try to introduce myself, what I do, I think, well, do I tell my people that I'm a lawyer, or do I tell them I'm an attorney? Attorney sounds more sophisticated. Lawyer kind of sounds more
sound like in the Bible. Yeah, they talk about that in the Bible, you know.
So I have to be careful how I introduce myself. I just say I just have a law office, and I leave it alone at that. So.
And I just hang out with him just in case I get in trouble with the law.
That's right. So I know a good lawyer. You know,
he's a attorney. He is a briber. He tries to bribe every way. He's going to try to get in with the governor. He gets in with the judges. And
well, he knows Shannara, man. Alexander Shannara. I mean, my gosh, man, he's the man.
So a week ago, okay. And by the way, if you want to call in and talk to Stacey, you can 737-9505.
We'd love to have you call.
And so I get up at 2:30 in the morning to go to work. I work in Scottsboro, so I'm at the four-way intersection at Baileyton, and there's a car in front of me hauling a boat. Man, I got to go to work. Okay, So I pass him as soon as I go through the stop sign, and there's a Coleman County police officer.
Wow!
And he said hello to me.
Right.
So what's my first thing? Look, I've got a law show with Coleman attorney Melvin Haston.
Then you went to jail.
I had to call Melvin and get me out of jail. No, he was nice, and then he let me go and told me I need to drive more careful. So
yeah, when I won my county commission race, they called me. I thought we'd lost you. They said, well, you can't win, three-term incumbent. So we go to bed, and they call me, and they wake up. The Decatur Daily calls and says, hey, looks like you won. And I said, I did. And they said they must have come through over there in northwest Decatur, the guys that voted over there, you know. And I said, all over Morgan County to give it. They said, where's Baileytown? I says, Baileyton. Yeah. I got that Baileyton address, you know. So I live in Morgan County, though. So it was funny.
So, look, we have a caller in, Brenda from Coleman. Brenda, welcome to the Big D Radio Show. What's your question for Stacey George?
Hey, Big D. It's me again.
How are you?
I'm good. Listen, ask him, you know, he talked about freezing jobs in Montgomery. Wouldn't it be great if we just all together get rid of the Ethics Committee? Because apparently they've not done their job for years.
You know what? I would say yes. That, you know, talking about the Ethics Commission down there. You know,
yes.
I would have thought that. But, you know, when I filed the ethics charges, I filed six against Governor Bentley. And out of those six, they found four findings on him, and they used four of them, and they actually found charges and turned it over. So they did their job this last time with Bentley. Hubbard, you know, that was, you've had several corruption lately that they actually did do pretty good in. But, you know, I do think in replacing people on boards that's been there, it'll be a whole new group of people, you know, in the parole board, all these appointments, all these relatives, they got to go. We got to have something new.
Well, as a teacher, you know, they make sure that if a teacher makes over $50,000, we have to tell exactly where, you know, and this and that.
Yeah.
And then turn around, you know, and they're not asked to show or prove anything.
Hey, I know what you're talking about. Now, on this coaches and all this teacher stuff, yeah, that's just that's ridiculous. That is a waste of time. But now these politicians, we need somebody. They need to watch them closer. When they start catching those people in Decatur and teachers, but now teachers –
they always get on teachers and they say, my gosh, you know, they only work so many, but I appreciate you're the molding part of our kids, you know, and I think that teachers need to be paid more in Alabama, and a portion of that lottery money that goes to education is going to go to increase teachers, because we pay Nick Saban, you know, the highest paid coach in the United States, but we don't pay our teachers. So I think we should pay people highly, the ones that are working. We need to pay them, and we need to recruit and retain good teachers.
Well, and they're not going to get it as long as they keep the salary.
Cutting, and insurance and messing with your retirement. They're not, I tell you one thing, they're going to quit this beating up on state employees. I'm a state employee, so I'm a correction officer. I didn't mention that earlier, in a large prison state. So I'm a state employee, and I'm tired of them trying to balance the budget on the back of state employees and teachers. And that's what they try to do, but they give themselves a raise, didn't they? $2,000?
Right. And then I just retired, and I'm going to have to pay almost triple for my insurance.
Yeah, we've got
correct. And I'm less paid.
Mm-hmm. See, we've got people that come back to work. Thank goodness they do retire and come back, and they just do that, the retirees, try to help pay their insurance. So once you retire,
I have to have another job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sad because we need to try to keep, and, you know, Blue Cross needs competition. I said I'll make sure that they have two competitors in Alabama, and they're also going to be audited. I met with the CEO in Huntsville, David Spillers, a few weeks ago, and we need an audit done of Blue Cross Blue Shield. And those guys down there go crazy because, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield says something, it goes on. But my business will be different down in Montgomery because, you know, I'm a different person.
I think competition in insurance companies is exactly what needs to happen.
We do. We need that.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Brenda, for calling. Hey, thanks for being the co-host last week.
And I loved it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Melvin Haston just walked in and took over your reign for this week.
I know. Tell him to get out of my seat.
Hey, I'm keeping it warm for you.
Okay.
Thank you very much,
Brenda.
Bye-bye. So she brings up some good points about the educators in Alabama and how they have been ripped off for so many years.
They have, and if you're going to pay the coach, we need to pay teachers what they deserve. And if we want the best education, we have to pay for something.
Exactly.
Now, but they waste and steal so much money in Montgomery. They've been doing it years. I've been watching them. They do it in different ways. One of my quotes at the end of my book, this is my quote. I made this myself. What's done in the dark must be brought to the light. And if it's brought to the light, let's see, if it survives in the light, it's probably all right. Because I had a lot of corruption. I had a bunch of guys jumping in. One day I got down to Jack's. I'm a different kind of fellow because you mentioned earlier I need to tell who I am. I'm just this guy that gets up county commission. They called me and said, hey, George, come on down to Jack's. And so these guys sat down here eating a biscuit. And they said, George, I want you to see this. So we look over here and we got an MCATS bus. Comes in, it comes in the parking lot, food lane. It's in my book too. Comes in the book, the parking lot. Everybody jumps in a big, Corvette, Z71, all this stuff. And it cuts out, toward, Decatur, up 67. So I said, man, that was wild. I said, maybe we can catch them in the morning. So I got in there and we got ready, loaded my truck up. Man, they left me in that MCATS bus. I said, this is doing about 80, 85 headed toward, I don't know where. Anyway, come to find out they were going to Gadsden, to Goodyear. Well, they was paying so much, they were using their MCATS bus. And they were actually using two of them. So I called down there and I said, hey, we need to have a public hearing. What's going on here? And so they said, oh, it's legal. It's done through the Department of Transportation. I said, well, I got people and want to go to 3M too. If we can do it for everybody, that's fine. So that's one of those things that wasn't maybe illegal, but nobody knew about it. And it wasn't a bad thing because nobody was stealing anything. They just was getting something everybody else wasn't getting. And, so we got to be fair, and I believe in transportation, but my gosh, man, it was awful. And then we had older people wanting to go to the, get prescription drugs, and they were waiting on the MCATS bus. Right. I said, well, there it goes to Gadsden, But that's just what it is. And, I'm just that kind of person. When I'm exactly the way you see me. I can put a suit on, tie, I'm a correction officer. I want to make Alabama safe. I know how to do that. But I've got a diverse background. But when you see me, I'm just the same. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I've got an alternative farming plan. I ginseng hunt. I've been doing it since I've been 12. It's $300 to $500 a pound. It's abundant in North Alabama. And so we should be selling that. And I would like to mass produce that, get inmates to maybe go out and gather it and maybe plant it and make sure the Northeast and East Mountain, face of the mountains are full of it. And, make sure I get the word right. Asian community. She helps me on all my work. But anyway, the Asian community, I could try to say Oriental. I'm not real good with this stuff. But anyway, the bottom line is we could bring them in from, to Huntsville Airport 30 minutes from the Huntsville Airport, I'll have a ginseng patch, and it'll have plexiglass about 3 inches thick so you can walk over the top of the plants. We're going to bring them there first. We're going to give them an Alabama and Auburn football the inmates make over those nice yes. cedar footballs. We're going to make them smile. People that are coming in from Japan, China, all over, all you got to do is make people smile, make them feel at home, tell them the property tax here is low, or we're going to help you. You know, we want your business to come here, and we have a skilled workforce. But, you know, you can take them and say, this is a ginseng capital world, and they think ginseng is like God over there. So, yes. I mean, you got to get things and think out of the box, you know. But that's something natural we have here. But I just go out. I go to work every day. I'm a correction officer. Before that, I was county commissioner, but I never changed. One time I got employee of the month. It's in my book, cleaning toilets. They said, my gosh, we're going to lay everybody off. I love George over there. And they said, you want you work in the facility department. And they said, I said, how much you going to pay me? They said, we're going to keep you paid the same. I said, you're a good employee. He said, you'll be testing missiles again here pretty soon. When they put me doing that janitor job, got me some big gloves. And I said, man, I love this toilet cleaning job. And it's getting the highest paid janitor in Huntsville. But, you know, when it was all over, they said, man, we're going to want you to test missiles again, you know. I said, well, I kind of like the janitor job. But anyway, I got to cleaning toilets one day, and the customer came in, Boeing or something. And one minute I'm cleaning toilets, the next minute I'm running a $1.2 million missile down here. And they said, man, your janitor's running the vibration control. They said, you got to quit one of them. So I went back to, you know, doing that. But, you know, I'm just that kind of person. Doesn't matter what I'm doing, I'm going to do my best at it. I'm going to give it 110% just like I do now. I get up at 3 in the morning. But God put it on my heart to run. I know God puts heart on everybody. But my point is I've watched this 20 years, and I've watched people come in and they fall short every time. Exactly. Every time. And I can't do everything I say I'm going to do, but if these politicians don't listen to me, I'll go to their hometown. They say, how are you going to pass something? I'll go down to their hometown, and we'll dig around a little bit, and we'll kick dirt around, and we'll put the issue out there and say, now, the reason you're not voting for this lottery or putting it on the ballot is because you take money from the political action committee from the Porch Creek Indians, sir.
Yeah,
tell your constituents that at the church on Sunday. You know, that's the way I do business. So I'm going to be nice to people. We're going to have people in, kind of like what Guy Hunt did. Carry everybody in, you know, everybody eat, kind of work together. Democrats, Republicans, when I go down there, I'm going to listen to whoever has a good idea. Now, I'm not going to raise taxes and things of that nature, but whoever has a good idea that makes sense, that keeps, you know, working people, helps normal people keep their cost of living down, I'm for it.
And, you know, I've always thought, and I question this, why does the legislature, they like passing laws, and it drives me nuts, because they feel like they got to pass just millions of laws every session, and then they'll save the last 3 days to try to get a budget in. And I'm thinking, why don't someone, instead of, and it's really the governor's, because he's appointing all these cabinet positions, instead of saying, hey, just give me your budget, how much money you need, why ain't somebody saying, all right, you're asking for $10 million for your agency. What are we spending that $10 million on?
Right.
You know, it'd be nice for somebody just to ask them, where are you spending that money? You know,
yeah.
And how much of it's, hey, I used to work at Wallace. I taught down there, and this is no lie. The director of the EMS program, which I helped teach down there, he says, find me some stuff that we need to order. I was like, well, we've got like 20 backboards back here. We've got more backboards than we got paramedic students. He says, well, we need to order about 5 more, because if we don't use the money, we won't get it next
year. See, that's messed
and
up.
I know, and I was like, that was just dumbfounding me, because we had so much wasted stuff, you know, and you shouldn't be punished like that. You know, if you're an agency, you ought to be able to get the money that you need, not the money that you want. And another thing, Stacy, that drives me nuts is all these dadgum new vehicles.
Oh, my gosh.
Mean, every county commissioner, I'm going to get shot tomorrow. Every
that's
county commissioner,
right, yeah.
Every sheriff, brand new $900,000 John Deere tractors driving up down the highway and stuff, and I'm thinking, man, why?
See, I went over and bought all mine at the state surplus. The only time I really got in trouble, they called me without a tag one time, and they said, my gosh, this is horrible. Put me on TV, and they said, why do you not have a tag? I said, well, I bought this thing up to surplus. I didn't go buy a new one. You know, I bought a used one. It's a state surplus out of Minnesota or something. I said, it's a county vehicle, guys. You know, it's not something that I'm driving personally. So they were like, oh, okay. But they tried to make a big deal of it. You're trying to save money.
Yeah, because, you know. Why aren't we spending $60,000 on a nice big SUV? I don't know how much they spend, but let's just throw a $60,000 number out there. If you can get by with a $30,000, you know, And I know it takes a lot to run a government, but you got to start taking small steps. And when they just these guys, these cabinet people say, "Hey, we want this much money." And nobody answers it. Nobody answers for
it. Well, see, we did a budget. I always look at the overhead. You know, my budget in Morgan County ranged from 30 to 42 million, you know, just depending. We built the jail, you know. That was horrible. And I learned a lot from that, these change orders and stuff. But the budget, my budget was like 1.2 million, and I was always under in my district. But I'd always ask, you know, how much overhead's in here? You know, who's doing what? You know, we had one guy, it's in my book too, the maintenance guy, I'll never forget. He had an on-call pay in his budget. And it was like 15 or 20,000, and I was like, "What is on call pay?" He said, "Well, you know, the courthouse is going to be underwater. He got a sunk pump; they built it on top of an underground spring in Decatur." I said, "Well, I understand that." I said, "I've worked maintenance before, electronic machinery maintenance on ours, so I understand it." He said, "I said, what is on? I can see call in pay." I said, "If they call you in, you get 4 hours. I understand you get a 4 hour." He said, "No, I get called. I get on call pay." And I said, "Well, you shouldn't get on call pay only if you're called in." I said, "I never heard of this." He said, "Well, I've been getting it for years." I said, "Well, it stops today." Yeah. And so they go, "Oh, my gosh." So he comes back, and I said, "You need to take that out of your budget." And he said, "Well, you mean you're not going to pay me to stay sober?" That's in my book. I got the quote. I was like, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "Listen." And ultimately, what I did was I couldn't fire him because he wasn't doing anything wrong. But basically, I said, "But cut your budget." He wouldn't do it. He'd come back, and he said, "I'm going to lay a new employee off." We had a new guy. He had a family. Kids, and he just got a job getting insurance, wasn't making anything an hour. He said, "I'm just going to eliminate one of those positions and keep my own call pay." I said, "Buddy, that's your last day." I said, "I vote," you know, I made a motion to eliminate his position. And he said, "You can't do that. You can't fire me." I said, "I'm not firing you." So we eliminated his position, and he didn't have a job anymore. And so you see what I'm saying? That's just crazy. But I mean, he'd been getting that own call pay, and nobody'd ever ask, "Well, what's own call pay?" You know, I mean, they do this stuff, you know?
I bet it'd be surprising.
It'd scare you.
If you put a department head in there and said, "Hey, why are you asking for this much money? Where's it going?" He couldn't tell you.
No, he couldn't tell you.
And if he got to looking in it and got prepared for it, he'd probably come back and say, "Well, maybe I don't need $10 million. I think $4 will get me by with."
Right.
You know, if they really look at it, because there's a lot, like you said, there's a lot of wasted money.
You know, a lot of these companies have this, and I'm not opposed to this. I've looked at this idea, and I haven't even mentioned it in a while, but I thought about, you know, how you do profit sharing, like do budget sharing, what I call it. Let's come in and say, you know, DOC, you know, we're over here breaking brooms, you know, the inmates are. Well, let's take some duct tape. You know, if we could save so much on that budget, maybe we could look at putting half of that back into the general fund and then do some kind of a bonus for people who save the state money.
Yes.
You know, if you find a way to, because everybody has a good idea, you know, from the janitor to the CEO, if everybody has good ideas. And so, that's what I've always looked at. If we could save money, maybe if we could save so much on the budget, then turn around, take half of it, put it back in the general fund, and maybe give bonuses to some of those people that have ideas, you know.
Well, look, I've tried to build up your business, and you're over here shooting it down, talking about the council and their fancy cars, man. You realize in another month they're going to tell us to get off the radio.
Yes, that'll be all right.
You should have to tell it like it is. See, we need to talk him into running for that state house seat over there, you know, that open seat over there. You know,
look, we will get Melvin in politics here soon. I've always said I was going to run for mayor of Coleman, and I haven't done it yet, but I still may. Who knows?
Hey, everybody should. I was talking to somebody today. I took political science, won the political science student of the year in 1999, and Dr. Burke said, "My gosh, Stacy, you love it." I didn't even know anything about politics. Wasn't even registered to 97. And I just got mad and started registered to vote. But everybody should run for office. And you learn something, don't you, Melvin?
A lot.
You learn how many people, and then you should serve two terms and see how many friends you have.
Yeah,
and then that day you lose. Gosh, man, they'd be like, I'll be like, you know, where'd everybody go?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I had a lot of friends, you know, but your real friends are still with you, you know.
That's
but it's funny when you lose how many, you know, you look around, everybody looks like you're crazy, you know, like, where'd you go? But, you know, I never let anything bother me. I just keep on going. If, you know, I win this race and, you know, God blesses me and this is what's meant to happen, then we'll go and she'll be the best first lady we ever had. And I promise you that. If you don't like me, you'll love her. She's got a good heart. Karen does. And, she's going to do human trafficking. And I tell you what I'm going to do with these kids. I got to look in and I'm going to start, in some rural areas, but I'm going to do sex education for young men. Because you see, I've been paying child support for 25 years.
So
and I've never been, and I've never been late. Okay.
Neither
so,
was I.
There you go. So my point is, and I'm going to tell you something, man, if you're not paying child support and you're listening to me and women too, by gosh, you're going to get your child support because I had to pay it, and they're going to pay it too. If they're in prison, by gosh, they're going to pay it. But people need to pay their child support, and they need to be a part of the, you know, the kid's life. Now, I failed early on when I was 20-something, had some other things I'd rather do, but I always pay my child support. But the point being is I want to do sex education with these kids, and I get them a calculator, and I say, okay, guys, you want a new truck?
Yeah,
well, then
exactly.
This is what it's going to cost you to have a child at a young age. And if we could just prolong that till they could get an education, that would do a lot. And if the governor of Alabama, think about it, if he goes in and rolls his sleeves up and says, hey, guys, now you got some 12, 14-year-old kids in here. Some of them don't even know who their dad is.
Yes.
You know, in prison, you see that. And if you could be that role model and say, you know what, guys, this is what happens in life, and I'm the governor of Alabama, but let me tell you something. I've been exactly where you are, and you need to be careful, and you need to, you know, you really don't need to do it. But the bottom line is you don't need to have kids at a young age.
That's it.
Yeah,
well,
so,
look, we appreciate you coming in, Stacy George, and we wish you well.
I appreciate that. Thank you for letting me come in.
So, he's going to be back.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
he enjoys us.
Yeah, I'm not very far from here. This is close radio station to me. Y'all got an in on the governor because we're going to live in Arab, so part of the time.
Now, me and Melvin want to come down at the whatever.
Swim. I want to swim.
Swim. No, we want something to eat, too, now.
Oh, boy, y'all give me some tomatoes. That's a tomato sandwich.
Well.
Y'all want something a little better?
Tacos, maybe. At least.
Well, now they serve that fried chicken at the prison, and those French fries, steak French fries. So we may eat some of them on Sunday.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I'm good with it.
So which prison are you at?
Limestone and St. Clair. I work at St. Clair overtime.
All right, look. So let's just spend 1 minute on this, and that's it, because I got to get my next guest in.
Okay.
Nothing ticks me off more than to see me look at all the correction facilities, whether it's in Alabama or the whole 50 United States, and I see these correction officers bringing in dope, bringing in cell phones to these prisoners, and that just ticks me off more than anything, and I see it every single day.
Right, you do, and I don't see it as much at Limestone. They get you pretty quick there. People tell on you at Limestone. They tell everything, but the point being is you have to weed people out. And you know, of course, correction officer, I didn't work any overtime. Made $38,000 last year. The year before, I made $52,000 if you work overtime. You can pay people more money, but it doesn't make people good people or bad people. But you just have to weed them out. But you have to realize a cell phone, you bring a cell phone in, it might be $500 cash. And these people are looking at it, and you just have to weed them out.
But,
you know?
But I mean, are they not inspecting you as you go to work to see if you have cell phones, dope, or anything like that?
When you file ethics on the governor, they strip search you, man. You wouldn't believe what I've had to do in prison. I mean, I'm under a real close rule, you know. They look at everything. But most of the time, yeah, we do have to go through it. But at St. Clair, it was really bad, and it's getting better now over there. My gosh, it was horrible. But you got life without parole inmates. They don't have anything to lose or gain, man. And it's like, you know, they threw some guns over there. It was in the newspaper. They had some bullets already in the gym and threw some guns over. If we hadn't caught the guns, they thought it was dope. They thought, well, they'll let it go. Well, no, it was freaking guns, man. They'd have shot the whole place up.
And here I am working my tail off six days a week, and these guys are in there, got TV, good food probably, and everything else.
They're working soap operas, honey buns, cigarettes.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, they need to be working. That's why I told them. I said, now, I'm in for prison reform. But, my gosh, if you come to prison and you don't want to go get an education, I'll bring that big rock, a big rock into them. Now, we don't put them on chain gang. I'll let them bake little rocks in there. But, you know, these new, if they were to build a new prison, if I was in charge, they wouldn't put a, you can watch education, something educational or the news, but you're not going to watch soap operas. You're not going to watch football in prison. You're not going to do, it's going to be serious because you're going to want to get out of prison. You need to. You need to make it tough. Yeah.
Thank you for coming in, and
hopefully
we'll see you in a few weeks again.
Yeah.
And so we may go over just a few minutes on the show. We're going to bring in Christopher Greer, our artist coming up. Thanks for being with the Big D Radio Show. We'll be back in just a minute.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95kullman.com today. Or visit our website, live95kullman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Kullman's independent radio.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Kullman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Kullman since 1989, Kullman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Kullman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Kullman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Kullman Sports Fit is a proud provider of silver sneakers and silver fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Kullman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit KullmanSportsFit.com. Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Here's a new Live 95 suggestion on how to prepare for the new work week. On Sunday night, you cook dinner. You help the kids finish their homework. You scream at your husband. You take the trash out. You make sure your kids brush their teeth. You tuck them in, sigh loudly, then pick up your remote control and turn on Sunday Night Live on Live 95. It's like being at a music festival, but without the illegal vapors, bright lights, and rednecks around you. However, if you want to make it more authentic, you can pour beer all over yourself. Sunday Night Live, all live tracks from 9 o'clock until midnight, right here on Kullman's independent radio station, Live 95.
Now you always all we got, Melvin. It's time, man. All we have. So in studio with us, our regular guest, it seems like, here all the time, Christopher Greer.
It's good to be back. It's always good to be here, man.
So, yeah, I told Danielle a while ago, I guess we're going to have to sign a contract with you on the Big D Radio show since you're here all the time.
I don't think we need to do that. I'll just pop in from time to time, play some music, talk a little bit about God. You know, tell a little bit about our church and what we got going on.
That's it. So I guess you'll be in next week also. We already recruited you, I think.
Yeah, that's a cause that I would like. I would really like to give some of my time and my talent to. You know, if you see something that needs doing, you need to do it. And our veterans, the people who've come back, who fought for this country, some of whom paid the ultimate price, we need to do everything we can, you know, to help these people. And if I can help somebody who suffered from a little bit of PTSD just by teaching them songwriting, you know, some guitar lessons,
exactly,
I'm always down for
that. Good. And I've got my hat on, actually, that I got from Saving Forgotten Warriors last week. So we'll actually have them, and we'll introduce you to these guys. Jeremy Hogan's the CEO.
That's awesome.
And we'll let you talk to him and see what we can get going on. And by the way, I could probably use a guitar lesson myself.
Can we do a shout-out to our veterans?
Yeah, a shout-out to our veterans. I mean, you know, we should have
to
a shout.
Veteran.
Mr. Joe. Mr. Joe is our latest veteran that Saving Forgotten Warriors have been helping, so... We'd got a list last week needing help, so many, many things on the list. And so I told Danielle, let's go get them some shirts that's on the list.
Sure.
And then, you know, God started talking to my heart and said, nope, that's not good enough.
Yep.
You get everything that's on that list, and I did.
Good for you, man.
I got everything on that list. They gave it to him. He was such a happy man. And Creations Salon and Spa. They gave him a haircut and trimmed his beard up, and he looked marvelous and a great smile on his face. So Saving Forgotten Warriors has actually now lined him up with a train ticket that will take him from Alabama to Washington State. He has friends and family up there, I think, and he wants to go back home. So we're going to provide that for him also. So it's just a wonderful thing. And the things that Saving Forgotten Warriors do every day. I mean, it's 7 days a week that they're out there helping homeless vets, people that has things wrong with their house, and any kind of way that they can help, they're out there busting their tails 7 days a week. And I've been supporting them from the very get-go, and I've been promoting them on what's happening in Coleman Facebook page, and, you know, taking money out of my own pocket, which I gladly do.
Sure.
And so I do everything I can. And I appreciate your offer that you're wanting to do. It really helps a lot. And
I've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old who can sleep safe in their bed at night because of men and women like that.
Exactly.
And, you know, I didn't serve in the military. My father's a veteran. Both my grandfathers were veterans. You know, I have the utmost respect for people who do that. That's service. That's not getting something back. That's serving your nation. And we should take better care of these people.
Exactly.
So, man, I applaud what you're doing with that group, and I'd really like to help.
And, you know, my two stepsons, which I hate saying the word stepsons because I always considered my sons.
Right.
The oldest one, Andrew, he went 6 months before the war began in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed there a year, was in Fallujah for the last 6 months, which is the worst place at that time.
Right.
And then my youngest son went, and he actually got killed in action in Baghdad, Iraq, November 1st, 2006, driving a Bradley tank, and he drove over 2 IEDs.
I'm sorry for your
so,
loss.
So, killed him instantly, and, you know, what a true hero. You know,
right.
Him amongst the other many thousands out there that do us a good service every day, so I can come on this radio show, be funny, mm-hmm. be serious, and have fun at what we do. So,
right. Well, I mean, every single one of them are heroes.
Oh yeah.
And I told you a little bit about a song that I wrote for them, and it's still one of the most powerful songs that I could ever play. And you know, to me, I feel that God gave me that song. You know, I was just the person writing it down on paper. And if I can play it to veterans and people who need to hear it, you know, if it can help them, then that's what I want to do.
That's awesome.
You know, we've had a lot of things happening with our church and with our community. And it's really great to be able to reach out and help people, You know, at our church, we've started things like food banks, and, you know, we just had a big event at our church with it was a big celebration for the 4th of July. It seemed like half of ARAP was in our parking lot. And when you reach out to your community, to your local community, that's when you really make a difference. And we've been able to do that. And that's something we're going to keep trying to do. And that's something I'm going to keep trying to do. You know, I wasted about 40 years. I've got a lot of catching
exactly.
up to do.
I wasted a bunch too, you know. And then finally, you know, because I gave my life to Christ when I was 16 years old at Coleman High School football stadium.
Right.
And through the years, you know, I praised him and I failed and I praised him and I failed. And, you know, and it's finally about 2 years ago, and I'm like, you know what? You're just not doing it, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, I've done my prayer and I gave my life back to Christ. And there's so many things that's happened to me with Christ in my life. And so I'll do a quick story. And so I'm out doing my fun thing. I'm out in a bar in Birmingham, okay?
Right.
And because I was always kind of weird probably in the bars because I always sit by myself. Me and my nephew, we'd go sometimes all the time. So we're at a bar down on 280. And so I'm sitting there by myself having my Jack and Coke, which I love, by the way. And so I felt somebody grab the back of my shirt because I always wear a white button-up shirt because that's what I like.
Right.
And I was so mad when somebody grabbed my shirt out of the blue because I'm not messing with nobody, okay? And I turn around to look, and there's nobody there. And there's a voice that says, "I love you, Daryl, and you'll never leave me."
Mm-hmm.
So I knew right then. Wow. So the next week I go back to the same bar. Hmm. And guess what? It happened again.
Right.
Exactly happened again. And I turned around and told my nephew, "I'm out of here."
Yeah.
And so, you know, he worked on my heart and I gave my life back to Christ. And now, you know, I always say this, how did I live without him?
Exactly. Exactly. I lived without him by medicating myself, by lying to myself, by doing everything I could do to fill that hole up inside me. There's only one thing that fills that hole. And it doesn't matter what you pour into it. It's not going to work. At the best, it's going to medicate you so you don't think about it for a little while. You know, I don't have that hole anymore. You know, I tell people, yes, there was a time I was an addict. I'm not. I don't consider myself an addict because I don't feel the need to do any of that. That's just, there's no desire in me to do these things. And there's probably people out there sitting and listening saying, uh-oh, you know, that's not what you should say if you've been through these things. When you're suffering from an addiction or from something that's holding you down, you're not going to fix it until you get to the root.
When you
get to the root cause and you deal with it, it's gone and it's done. And God does that. And I've seen God do that to people. I've seen people get healed. I've seen God cure addictions. I've seen God do things that doctors couldn't explain. I've seen it in my family. I felt it in my own body. You know, we're going to have a healing service at our church in ARAB this week. We have an evangelist, a great evangelist. I've got such a great church family. And every so often we have a healing service, and we do it at 2:00 so anybody who goes to the regular church can come. And I have seen people get healed. You know, I've experienced it myself. You know, God is in the miracle business.
Every day.
And he never stops. You know, he's just looking for a place to show out. And if you've got an addiction, If you're hurting in your heart or in your soul or in your body or if anything is holding you down, come see us. Come to New Life in ARAB. It's at 2:00. You know, I might not be able to help you because guess what? I'm just a man, but I know somebody who can.
Exactly.
And he's in the miracle business, and business is good, and it never stops. You know, I've seen these things with my own eyes. And before, you know, I was brought up Baptist. So before, I was a little, I don't know how I feel about that, you know. But when I started seeing it, and I started seeing the effect that it has on people, you know, when you see people who go from being one of the biggest meth dealers in the county to somebody who's given their testimony.
Amen.
And, you know, you see addicts and criminals who are now on platforms, you know, and leading praise and worship. I'm one of them. You know, you see people who have all these problems and God takes them away.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to do a better job as Christians about getting people in the door so the seed is planted. We can't grow the seed. That's God. Okay? He can do a better job than that, or than us when it comes to that. Our job is to reach out and to touch people's lives and to try to plant that seed. And, you know, the song that I was going to play for y'all today, it comes from something humorous and it's tongue in cheek, but it's also pretty serious. And, you know, you think about where we stand right now at this moment, and if you made a circle that was a mile in diameter and we're right in the middle of it, how many people in that circle are lost? How many of those people need God? How many of those people are struggling with depression, are struggling with all these things that are holding them down from being who they can be?
Yeah, exactly.
How many people are in that circle that you know?
Yeah, and the thing that I try to tell people that are probably unbelievers is, let me tell you something. There's two places that's real, and it's called heaven and hell.
Yes.
And you have the option to go to either one of them.
Yep.
Okay? And one day when I was at work, I was moved for some reason. I don't know why, but God spoke to me mm-hmm. and said, you need to go buy a book. And I'm thinking, what? Where in the world is this coming from? Guess what I done? Right. I left work, and I went to Books A Million.
Yep.
And I said, what am I going to buy? I have no idea. So I was directed to this book, picked it up, took it to the counter, and bought it. It was called 23 Minutes in Hell.
Ooh.
And I took the book home and read it in one night. So this guy that was a Christian was taken from his sleep by God and dropped into hell. And it was horrific of the torture that he received while in hell. And God brought him up through this hole that was hell and pulled him up into the sky. And he showed him a road where all of these people had just passed away. And they were walking two people side by side. And he said it was like it was a mile long.
Right.
And he told him, he says, all of those people just passed away. And they're going by twos. And at the end of the road was the pit. And they were falling in the pit. And he says, you have no idea how much I love them. That's my sons and my daughters.
Yep.
But they would never serve me and give their life to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he watched them drop. And he said, I could actually feel the heartbreak from God as he spoke that to me, to watch his children fall in there.
Yes.
And it was horrific, but it's a book that I think everybody should buy because they need to know that hell is a real place.
Yes, and they also need to know there's not conditions, you know, you don't have to act a certain way or dress a certain way or live in a certain neighborhood. God's already forgiven you. God, all you have to do is open your arms to Him. All you have to do is serve Him. He's already accepted you, no matter where you are in life. I was such a shattered person when God came to me, and I look at where I am now, and the road I was on, it was hard, and it was painful, and I went through a lot, and I would change it for anything, because who I am right now, I am so happy, you know, just because I'm right, and when you're right with what God's wanting you to do, when you're in God's will, you know it.
Oh, yeah.
When you leave work and you go buy that book, a peace comes over you. When I make the decision, okay, I don't need to play rock music anymore. I need to focus my talent towards God. All that conflict stops, and you know you're doing what's right.
Exactly. He'll always lead you the right way. So, and I think what everybody needs to know is that when Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, it was not just for the sin that Daryl done yesterday. It's for the sin that I'll do tomorrow.
Yes.
Now, am I going to intentionally go out there and be a sinner? No, but you know what? I'm a human being.
Yes.
And I'm of the flesh. And yeah, Daryl's probably going to sin tomorrow, but he's forgiven me.
And he paid that ultimate price for me and for everybody in this room and for everybody in this world.
Yes. And if you were the only person, if everyone else in existence just stopped being, and you were it, you were the only man on earth, he still would have gone on that cross for you. And he still would have paid that price.
And what I want everybody to know is what Pastor Bobby says every week. You know, he's on that throne.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in control of everything that happens.
Yes.
Which will catch some slack from everybody in this world. Well, then why is all this going on? Well, he's already got the perfect plan made out.
Yes.
You know, we live in an imperfect world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bottom line. If this was a perfect world, then we wouldn't have rapists, and we wouldn't have murderers, and we wouldn't have robbers. But we do. And it's always going to be that way until his return.
Yes.
It's just the bottom line.
Our job is to go out into our little corner of that world and to try to change things. Our job is to reach out to the people who need it and to try to help lift them up, to love them. You're never going to get somebody to come to church and to come to Christ by bashing them over the head with a Bible. That doesn't work. What happens is you love them.
Exactly.
You listen to them. You take your time, your treasure, your talent, and you give it to God's cause. My wife, who is a wonderful woman that I in no way deserve, she does what I call her jam ministry. You know, she makes jams and jellies and pickles and all kinds of cool
stuff.
Tell her
I said thank you, by the way.
Oh, I will. And, you know, and when you come to our church, you know, this is a shameless plug, New Life, come get your jam. But when you come to our church, she's going to hook you up with a jar of jam, and it's a little way to show, hey, I care. You know, this was made from me, and I'm giving it to you, and I want nothing in return. For me, what I give, I'll give free guitar lessons. You want to come to a Bible study? You want to come to a church service? I'll give you free guitar lessons for as long as you want.
You know that's something that I've been thinking while we've been talking. Churches have evolved and got pretty smart. You know, the 4th of July celebration, the trunk of treats and everything else, the meals and stuff. When there's been an assault on religion in churches, churches have not just sit down and taken it. They've kind of said, all right, you know what? We've got other ways we can show it. Church is fun. I love it.
Sure.
You meet good people there.
Yes.
You know, you're going to meet good people. If you can get people that doesn't know, that's never been in church, get them away from their bad ways, the bad people. Get them in with good people, like you said, by
exactly
love.
Right.
Get them come in on 4th of July. Get them, come, you know, get the trunk or treat stuff. Got the all the different things you're talking about. Most of the time, all you got to do is get them into. You get them in the door, and they're gonna get hooked, man. Because
Amen.
They think, man, this is not what we thought it is. You know, I thought you had to go in here and you're gonna hear a preacher's gonna tell you about hell and heaven and that's it and bashy and you know everybody's just all stiff. But man, we have fun in church.
Absolutely,
you know, and there's such a variety for whether you're the old fashioned type or you're a lot of the new churches that's coming out with all the different musical instruments. I mean, you can find a niche, and I mean that's why I tell everybody, man, you need to give it a try. Just give it
sure.
a try. Go to a church. You'll enjoy it. You'll go back.
Let me tell you something, Melvin. When God gets a hold of you in church,
mm-hmm.
you know it.
Yes.
You know it, exactly. And you're going to experience it, and you're going to love it, and you want to go back.
Yes.
Well, I've never been to a church service where when the preacher was preaching a message, I'm thinking, you know what? He's talking to me. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
He is really. I'm saying I've never been to one where he's not done it.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Sorry. Let me get it right. Where it's not done it. Every single time I go
every
to church.
Every Sunday for me.
Every Sunday, no matter what he's preaching, I'm thinking, he's like, what does he know about me? This is meant for me, and I know everybody else is meaning the same thing. So, you get these people in there, man. They'll love it. There's good people. There's a variety of people.
Yes.
And everybody loves everybody. Everybody takes care of everybody. And it's good that like the meal stuff you're talking about, that is good, you know, because all you're doing is saying, hey, look, we love, because that's what Jesus said. You got to love one another.
Sure.
You love everybody. I loved you. I died for you. You got to love everyone else.
And now,
it's big.
I mean, we're doing something new. We've got a vacation Bible school starting on the 19th. And, you know, this is free. We're going to feed your children. You know, from 5:30 to 8:30, they're going to have a great time. They're going to learn about God. you know, they're going to be around other kids and have fun. And guess what? Mommy and daddy can maybe spend a little bit of time watching a movie or going out on a date, you know, doing whatever they need to do. But your kids are going to be in a place where they're not just going to be watched. They're going to be learning and experiencing Amen. And growing. Yes. And that starts on the 17th. I'm so proud of my church family and what we've done with buying back our – first off, we bought back our building, which was a miracle in itself. You know, and now our church is experiencing a revival and we're growing and more people are coming. And we're trying to find new ways to spread that love and to spread God's word. And that's what's required of us as Christians. If you're not doing that, shame on you. You know, because that's what you need to be doing. If I work on the railroad and when I'm on a train, I'm not ashamed to talk to somebody about God. That's what I need to do. And exactly. If somebody says, hey, I don't really want to talk about that, I'll respect that.
Exactly.
You know, but if I can plant a seed, even if they don't go to my church,
exactly.
I don't care. You know, I'd love to see everybody come to our church. You know, it's a great place. I care that they go to some church. You know, it could be yours. It could be yours. It could be the one down the street. As long as they're not in that line, walking two by two, waiting to fall into that pit.
Yeah. And my biggest belief is, always, if you ever plant a seed, let me tell you something, it's going to grow.
Yes.
I don't care what that person, if they like it or not, it's going to grow because God's going to speak to them.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Would you mind if I play a song for
you? Man, I'm ready. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't talk about where the song ideas come from very often, but for this one I will. We all know people who come to church every Easter and Christmas, and that's okay if that's what gets them in the door and gets the message to them. And I've known and in the past been one of the people that needed something to get me in the door. And sometimes it's a jar of jam, and sometimes it's fried chicken. And I told my wife this idea, and she said, you have to write this song. I said, no, I'm not going to write this song. And she talks me into it. Because she's got my number. But, you know, the name of this song is I Came for the Chicken, but I Stayed for the Jesus.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Christopher Greer.
Chicken drifted through the air, yeah, it felt like the Holy Ghost was everywhere. Preacher started preaching, he commenced to pray. Between the offering and the altar call, the message took. He only come because him old women could. He was running to the altar and nobody better get in his way. He said, I came for the chicken, but I stayed for the Jesus. One fills my belly and the other one saved my soul. He said, I came for the chicken, but I stayed for the Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, let my Savior take control. His mama knew it was coming if he walked in the door. Speaking in tongues, rolling round on the floor. The men were laying on hands, he's a tongue-talking fool. They were praising the Lord and his mama was crying. The spirit was soaring but the carnal was dying. The preacher led him by the hand to the baptismal pool. He said, I came for the chicken, but I stayed for the Jesus. One fills my belly and the other one saved my soul. He said, I came for the chicken, but stayed for the Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, let Jesus take control. In the fellowship hall, he gave his mama a kiss. Said, I would have been here sooner if I knew it's like this. I came for the chicken, but stayed for Jesus. Oh, glory, hallelujah, let my Savior take control. He said, I came by the chicken, but stayed for the Jesus. One for my belly and the other one saved my soul. He said, glory, hallelujah, let Jesus take control.
Hey, look, I almost stood up and worshiped him while you were playing that song, man. That was awesome.
Thank you.
But, hey, look, I hate to put you on the spot.
Sure.
But could you do, like, maybe a strum of Kiss or something for a second? Is there any chance? Do you know any Kiss? Just, like, a little hit or something?
All right.
This is for Dee.
This is for me and Melvin both.
Oh, Lord.
I'm gonna hit you with a compromise.
Okay. I'm good for compromise.
I was a big AC/DC fan.
I like AC/DC. They're okay.
And I'm not going to play a cover.
All right.
But I will play one verse, one chorus of a song that I wrote about some people that are very important to me.
Okay.
I love these people. They're my family. You know, of course, they're church family, but it's still family. And they told me the story of how they got together. And I told them, I said, you have got to let me write a song about that. And they said I could. So this song is called Love in Handcuffs.
All right, here we go.
Been driving with no license for a couple of years. Hopped into his truck after 6 or 7 beers. He told the girl beside him he knew just what she needs. He drove the next town over, stole a bag of weed. Loving handcuffs. Loving handcuffs. Cops pulled him over. FBA ran while the hole. He just got out of jail. Right back, he's gonna go. Loving handcuffs. Loving handcuffs. Lots of mess and love into the night. She gave an alibi that was better than their tight. Shouting through the wall after he took a fall. She said he's gonna make it right. Took a pair of handcuffs to make love at night. Yeah, 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 took a pair of handcuffs. In the car, to her it's time to talk. We know the driver, yes, we're gonna let you walk. She looked at the cop, said, sir, you got it wrong. I talked him into this, it was my drugs all along. Loving handcuffs. Loving handcuffs. Red and blue lights and Nelson love into the night. She gave an alibi that was better than their tight. Shouting through the wall after she took a fall. Said he's gonna make it right. Took a pair of handcuffs to make love at night. Yeah, yeah, took a pair of handcuffs. Got no need for handcuffs. Both of them have settled down. Raised a bunch of kids in this heaven that they found. Never would have happened, never would have had this life. While they're putting him in handcuffs, he asked her to be his wife. Red and blue lights and lots of love into the night. Gave an alibi that was better than their tight. Shouting to the water till he took a fall. Said he's gonna make it right. Took a pair of handcuffs and made love at night. Yeah, 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 took a pair of handcuffs.
Weed and handcuffs. Is this one of your former clients or what?
Yes. Yes.
You know, I'm going to tell you real quick who that song is about.
Okay, tell me.
Everything that I just sang is a true story. Everything in that song is true. No embellishment. And the people that told me that story that song is about are some of my closest friends. They're leaders in the church.
Amen.
These are people that God's moved in their life, has completely turned them around. I'll tell you, I would trust them with anything that I own, up including my children. I mean, they are pillars of faith now, and that's what God can do. Now, I kind of feel bad because I said I wasn't going to play no rock and roll, and you taught me into it.
Well, look, I loved it, man. Yeah. Look, so why don't we do a Big D Radio Show, 1 hour of Christopher Greer singing? Man, I could listen to that all night, man. You're just an incredible talent. Let's just call it like it is.
Thank you very much.
It's incredible.
You know, it's all by accident, and God gave me the ability, and it just took a while to come out.
Incredible. All right, well, that's a good way to end the show, isn't it? And Danielle's over here saying something to me that I can't hear, by the way. Oh, yeah. Of course we're going to pray, you know, because I did not pray at the beginning of the show. It's my bad. I got caught up in the whole governorship, you know.
Yeah.
Anytime Marvelous Melvin sits by me, we get caught up in Alabama politics for some reason, and I get excited, and I just want to start talking about it because I love
it. It's probably a good thing I wasn't in the room.
Well, look.
I get caught up in Alabama politics.
I love making fun of it because it's right. So funny.
It borders the absurd, honestly. It does. But it can only get better.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about that. I mean, it can't get no worse. Well, I better not say that. It may. If we get the wrong candidate in there, it may get worse. So thanks for being in. We'd like to thank Stacy Lee George for coming in, talking about his run for governor for Alabama. We will be back next Tuesday with Marvelous Melvin Hasten on Understanding the Law at 6 p.m. And next Thursday, another edition of the Big D Radio Show, Christopher Greer will be back along with Jeremy Hogan, CEO of Saving Forgotten Warriors, Pastor Bobby Hill, and then we will find out who else Danielle brings into the show because I don't run the show no more.
Hey, she does a good job.
Well, I better take that back. I've never run the show, so I just come in here talk, and that's all I do. All right, so thank y'all for coming in. We'll say a quick prayer, and then we'll get out of here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in prayer through your Son, Jesus. And Father, we just praise you, God, for the presence that you have in our life. Most importantly, Father, I praise you for the sacrifice that your Son done for me on that cross, so my sins may be forgiven, as well as everyone else, Father. Lord, I just ask, God, that you be with everyone that's been on the show tonight, Father. Be with this young man running for governor. Lord, be with Christopher Greer as he walks in life. Father, to not only praise you, but to tell others about you and to win hearts for you. Father, we just ask that you be with Melvin, Father, and the work that he does for the public and how he always tries to help everyone in need. Father, we thank you, God. We give you the praise, honor, and glory that you deserve because you are the ultimate. You Amen. Are the Alpha and the Omega. And God, we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for being in on the Big D Radio Show. God bless you. And most importantly, God bless America. We'll see you next time.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman.